Please turn your Bible to the first book of the New Testament, Matthew chapter 28. If you're using a Bible in front of you, it's page 1000. Matthew 28. It's not about us. Similar words were written by author Pastor Rick Warren as he opened up chapter 1 in his book, The Purpose-Driven Life. Take a look at the opening words here. It's not about you. The purpose of your life is far greater than your own personal fulfillment, your peace of mind, or even your happiness. It's far greater than your family, your career, or even your wildest dreams and ambitions. If you want to know why you were placed on this planet, you must begin with God. You were born by His purpose and for His purpose. The same can be said about us corporately as a church. It's not about us. One of the things I love about Weymouth Community Church, about you, is that we've made it about God. How can we glorify God? How can we follow Him? What is it that He is asking us to do? And we want to continue to do that. We're in another exciting stage of life and ministry here at Weymouth Community Church as God continues to lead us. For a couple of years, we've been praying and asking God, what do you want us to do in terms of our facilities so we can be more effective in serving the old and the young, everyone in our community and beyond. And God did something that surprised us. He, instead of building on here, He opened up something not far down the road for a lot less money to be able to meet the main priorities that He had brought to us in a new facility. So we are excited about that. We're excited about the unanimous vote to move. And now we want to continue to ask God, what is it that He wants for us in all aspects of ministry? Moving locations is a big move for us. It's a big change for our church, especially for those who have been here many years, many decades. God has done a lot of things in our lives personally, as families, and even through us to be able to honor Him here. So that's not an easy thing to do. But another thing I appreciate about our church is that we do have an open hand, a mindset that everything we have is God's, including our facilities. And if God wants to move us, if He wants to do something different, we're willing to follow. And so we want to ask the same question and have the same thought process about another very sensitive issue for our church and what would be a very difficult change if it is something that God led us to do. The reason I'm taking the time this morning to talk about this issue is the elders have mentioned, they have asked me to do this, partly because we have been getting a lot of questions after we decided that God was going to move us in our location. The two main questions we received from you is, first, what are we going to do with these facilities? So we're still working on that to see what God has for us there. But the other main question that's come up over and over again is, what is the name of our church going to be? And so we decided, well, this is the time to really try to answer that question and be able to give you not only some direction on that, but really to ask you to be able to help us to answer that. There are people that have come to us and said, well, of course we're going to change the name, right? Because we're not going to be in Weymouth any longer and we're moving locations. And other people come to us and say, well, of course we're going to keep the name change, right? I mean, that's who we are. We are Weymouth. That identifies us. And so we have people that, you know, are thinking a variety of things about this as they ask us about the name. But the question we're here to try to answer today is not specifically what is our name going to be, because we're really going to ask you to help us with that process, whether the name remains the same or changes. But a more foundational question. I was asked this at a leadership meeting when someone just kind of blurted out and asked, hey, what's the name of our church going to be, when we were looking at moving? And someone next to me looked at me and asked the question that I think many people would have. Well, why would we change the name? For them, you know, just thought, well, the name will probably stay the same, so why would we change the name? That's the question I think we really need to answer. If we're really going to consider this, if we think that maybe God would actually ask us to consider this, we need to answer that question. So that's what we're here to do today, and then to give you some next steps that you can help us take in the process. Now, the biblical principles I'm going to share today are not just for our congregation as it relates to the name. So even if you're not a member, even if you don't normally come here, you're just passing through, The principles we share today can be used in all areas of our lives, and I hope that we will consider that, not just for what we're doing here with our facilities, but how does God want us to apply these truths to all aspects of our lives? And I'm just going to ask that you pray with me, that God would help us, even in this process, to open our hearts to Him, to continue to have an open hand to whatever it is that God is calling us to do, and then to do whatever He leads us to do. Let's pray together. Father, I just want to thank You for all that You've done, for how You have led our church, Your people, and for our willingness, Father, to continue to follow You. And I pray as we open Your Word now, Father, that our hearts and minds will be committed to You and to Your Word, and that we'd sincerely ask the question, Father, what do You want us to do? How are You leading us? And that we would, unified, be able to say, we want to do whatever You lead us to do, to continue to honor You in this place and with these people. And we just thank You, Father, for giving us that direction. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you're taking notes this morning, there are notes there in the outline in your bulletin, and you can follow along as we go. And the very first thing at the top of your notes is this question that we'd like to try to answer this morning. Why would we consider changing our name? And the first biblical principle that answers this question, principle number one, the church is the people. The church is the people. And to make it a little more specific in answering this particular question, let's add this underneath in your notes. If the church is the people, then our identity is in Christ, rather than tradition, history, a location, or even a name. Now, it's understandable that if people ask, well, where is your church? We're going to give them directions to our building, right? 3398 Old Weymouth Road in Medina, Ohio, so that they can find us. If someone comes or they see a picture and they say, wow, your church is beautiful, we know they're talking about the building. But we know that the church is really the people. It's the spiritually beautiful people inside. It's the people that love God and love other people that meet, and we happen to meet in this location. So we understand why people think of the church as a building. But the biblical principle is, it's not a building, it's you. It is the people. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, I will build my church. And in Ephesians 5:25, Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her. Now, as we study the Scripture, we understand that the church is not a building, it is the people. And when Jesus said, I will build my church, He's talking about what we could call the universal church. Every single person who has trusted in Jesus Christ alone for salvation is a part of this invisible assembly that will never actually meet until we get to heaven. So what we're left with are these local, visible representations of the universal body of Christ that we call local churches, that are meeting, church means assembly, that assemble together to accomplish God's purposes that He's given us in His Word. Now, we understand that although the church is the people, in this particular church, people have come and gone. There's different people over this past 100 so years that have been a part of this church, different leaders, different pastors in and out. We don't have anyone left from when the church started in 1835, except for Pastor John. He's still here. By the way, now he's not in the service. By the way, he gave me permission to say that. He knows I was going to say that. He was okay. He left. No one's here that was here when the church started. We've come and gone. But right now, we are the church. Whether you remember or not, if you call this your home, we are the assembly of God in this place called Weymouth Community Church, known as Weymouth Community Church, here to accomplish God's purposes. Let me give you a little bit of history here if you're not familiar. Our church name has not only always been Weymouth Community Church, even though most of you know it as such. Back in 1835, the church organized as the First Congregational Church of Weymouth. That was the very first name. It was later called the Congregational Church of Weymouth and was a part of the Presbytery of Cleveland. In 1915, the name was changed to Weymouth Community Church Society, and in the Article of Association, it was known as the Community Church of Weymouth. So over the years, it has been known by different names. It's even been known as Weymouth Church, and grew a popularity or an identity some years ago, even with the name Life Change Church. In fact, when 5 years ago, when I first was looking on the website and was looking at this church when I was first contacted, that was the name that was pretty prominent, was Life Change Church. And one of the things that connected with me is that, okay, this is great. Here's a church who's willing to use names for a purpose, to think of who they're identified as, either in a location like Weymouth Community Church or even the purpose of life change and discipleship. Over the years, our church name has officially and unofficially changed names. As a church, we've recognized recently through our vote, through our unanimous vote, that we do not find our identity in our location. And that even though changing locations can be extremely difficult because of all that God has done here and the history that we have here, we're willing to do it because that's not our identity. We're still the church. The same would go with a name, and that's what we want to consider today and as we move forward. Now, some would look at the building location and can say, well, we can't move. This is our church. This is our building. And yet we've been willing to say, but if God leads us, we'll do it. It's the same temptation now. I think we could say, this is our name. This is our identity. We are Weymouth. But if God leads us, we would be willing. So what? In your notes, here's the first applicational response. Our choice of name should reflect the fact that the church is the people and identify us as the people we want to become. This was something that came to my mind before June 18th, 1994. My wife was known as Teresa Campagna. That was her maiden name. And although you don't have to change your last name, we appreciated the fact that we were kind of becoming a new family together, Mr. and Mrs. Whiting from then on. An opportunity together to move forward to what God had us to do. One of the opportunities you have when you change a location is to consider not just the people who already attend or who already know of us, but what about the people who don't attend here yet, who are going to hear about maybe a new church or not know that we're the same people, but in a new location, and may want to be a part of us in that new location. Is it possible that a name could be something that they could see as identifying them to? Not just something that named a church in the past, but something they can be a part of. It's possible. Consider what we want to be, not just who we have been. Now, this principle applies to different areas of our lives. It reminds us that all churches, all individual people who faithfully follow Scripture are a part of the body of Christ. We need to encourage them, talk positively about them, and treat them as brothers and sisters in Christ, even if they don't agree with us on everything or attend our particular church. In our lives, we need to focus on people, not on programs, not on organizations, not on our own personal goals, but people that are right in front of us, that live in our homes, go to our schools, are a part of our businesses. These are people that Jesus died for, and so we need to care about them. And remember, this is all about people. Not about buildings, not about other groups or names or our own personal goals. This is about people that Jesus died for. We want to continue to do that in every aspect of our lives. The question, why would we consider a name change? Let's move to principle number two. The church is all about discipleship. And underneath that statement, let's write this down. If the church is all about discipleship, then it's not about maintaining our history and traditions and buildings and name over what is most important to our purpose. When Jesus died, he rose again. He was getting back to heaven. He was ready to go. But there was one command that he gave to all of his followers back then, 2,000 years ago, that still stands for us today. One thing he wants us to do until he returns or until we go home. And it's mentioned in Matthew chapter 28. Hopefully you're already there. Take a look at verse 19. Jesus said, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the end, to the very end of the age." Now, there seem to be a lot of different commands there, but actually, in the original language, there's only one command: make disciples. All the other phrases, even the therefore go at the beginning of the verse, supports and surrounds that one command. Everything else that you do is to support this one thing: make disciples. Now, sometimes that word or that phrase is confusing to us or overwhelming to us. I'm not sure I can make disciples. What does that look like? So we've tried to simplify it. It doesn't make it easy, but it does make it simple with our purpose statement: following Jesus one step at a time. I really believe biblically that if you are recognizing how God wants you to grow and you're taking just your very next step, you are becoming a growing disciple in Christ. And if you help someone else that's not as far along as the path as you are take their next step, you're making disciples. It's that simple. It's not easy, but it is that simple to take your next step and help someone else take theirs. And so that's what we try to do in everything that we do here at Weymouth Community Church. Our larger group gathering, the morning worship service, is to help us all lift up God, to give to Him, to worship Him through singing and fellowship, to open God's Word, and to lean towards applying it as well. Then we have our Bible studies or Sunday school classes. We do that on Sunday morning. We do that other times for all ages, to talk about what does God's Word say, to have a leader, facilitator, a teacher to help us understand God's Word, to talk about it together and how to apply it. And then we have our small group ministry, our life groups, where we meet in smaller groups, not to do another Bible study, but to say, okay, we've already heard something preached from God's Word. Now, how do we apply this to our lives? And to have intimate care and prayer with one another as we take those next steps. Everything we want to do is about discipleship. Why should we meet together like we're doing today? Why should we be together as a local church? Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 is up here. It says, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Why do we meet together? Why is it important? To spur one another on. It kind of has a negative connotation, but it's really a positive thing to spur each other, to encourage each other, to understand what's really going on in our lives. We're a church that wants to be honest and transparent, that we all have weaknesses, we all have a next step to take, and so we let other people in to encourage us to take that next step, to maybe see something we don't see that's going on in our life. That's really what the church is supposed to be about. It's all about discipleship, and everything we do is centered around that. And as verse 25 ends, we're to encourage each other because we know we need to take these next steps because Jesus Christ could come at any time, and that's really the most important thing. So what? Here's our response in your notes. Our choice of name should reflect our purpose of discipleship. Remember, this is about not necessarily having to change it, but a willingness to consider changing it as it relates to discipleship. Is there a way that God would have us make a change that would allow us to be more effective in discipleship? And if the answer is yes, then we'd be willing to do that. How does this principle apply elsewhere in our lives? Well, when it comes to your family, when it comes to people that are close to you, your children, your grandchildren, remember, the most important thing is not their education, it's not their career choice, it's not even who they're going to marry. The most important thing in our lives is discipleship. How are we helping those people in our lives take their next step in Christ? That's the most important thing in all aspects of life. Are you focused on taking your next step, whatever that may be? All right, let's turn to one other passage of Scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. If it's the Bible in front of you, it's page 1149, 1 Corinthians 9. And let's move on to principle number 3. The church is willing to do whatever it takes. We're willing to move locations. If God were to lead us to, we'd be willing to change the name, whatever it is that He asks us to do. And in other words, and this is in your notes, we are willing to sacrifice our name and anything else within biblical boundaries in order to share the gospel with more people. We recognized over time that our location here, although we love it and many people have come, that in some ways it was an obstacle to be able to meet the needs of the very young or the very old. Because of our desire to be more effective in discipleship, God has led us to make a change. That's really the only reason why we would want to make major changes in what we do or who we are, is because God is leading us to do that. And if He is, then we're willing to do whatever that would take. The name of our church would still be the First Congregational Church of Weymouth if the people of the church were unwilling to consider a name change. Nothing wrong with the name, First Congregational Church of Weymouth, but those who came after that decided this is the community that we're in and this is who we want to be known as we accomplish God's purposes into the future. I don't know if you've noticed this down the stairway back there. There's this plaque that has the name First Congregational Church of Weymouth on it. It was recognizing this as a historical site. And although they changed the name after that, the name was what they were known as when they first got started. Now, we're no longer a historical site because of changes that have happened to this building. But that doesn't mean that the name does not have historical and personal significance to us. Weymouth Community Church, over all these years, has a very special meaning to us and what God has done in our lives and the lives of others in this community. But by God's leading, we've been willing to change locations, and now we're considering what does He want us to do with a name. I'd like us to consider a few other scripture passages from the Apostle Paul, who was very well known, very well accomplished in spiritual circles. There was a lot that was going on for the Apostle Paul when his name was known by Saul. But then Jesus Christ changed it as he came into his life, and his whole perspective changed. I'd like to look at a few verses. We'll start with Philippians chapter 3, verse 8, and I'd like you to read out loud with me the words that are all capitalized in bold. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ. This is what Paul said about everything he's accomplished before that. When Christ came into his life, all of that was lost to him. He was now focused on Christ. Philippians 3:13. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. That meant for Paul and for us, forgetting the good and the bad, my accomplishments and my failures, so that I can focus on what's my next step. What is God leading me to now personally? What is He leading us to now as a church, willing to move forward? Acts 20:24. Paul said, however, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. Paul says, really, my life is nothing. Here's what's most important. Here's the one thing I'm all about now. It's about Christ. What do I need to do to be able to share the good news of Christ with more people in my ministry, in my family? And that's what it's been for the Apostle Paul. Willing to do anything. One thing I, again, appreciate about us, about this church, is that we're willing to sacrifice to honor Christ. I think of that in our giving. With our size of church, the regular giving that you give is sacrificial. The giving you've given over this past year and a half to the building fund, sacrificial. It's because you're sacrificing for the gospel, for what God wants to do. Here's a couple other passages from the Apostle Paul about this. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 8. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Say it with me. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give. Not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. And we have seen Him do that here. 2 Corinthians 8, 2 and 3. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. The principles of giving we talk about here are giving voluntarily, joyfully, and sacrificially. We don't talk about you have to give a certain amount. We say do what God leads you to do. And that's what you have been doing. I have found in these 5 years that this church is willing to do whatever it takes. If we can reach more people, if we can follow God's leading, even if it means great sacrifice. Now let's look at one other passage here. Your turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning in verse 19. Though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. Verse 21. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I'm not free from God's law, but I'm under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. Now, let's not misunderstand Paul. He's not saying that he would do things outside of Scripture or things that are opposed to God. And even though he uses those words in there to save some, Paul knows he doesn't do the saving. But he has this mentality, I'm willing to do whatever it takes. If I can reach more people, if the outreach of the gospel can be greater, I'll do it. If God leads me to do it, I'll sacrifice everything. That's the heart of the Apostle Paul. That's the heart that we have had here. I want to be clear. I don't think that Weymouth Community Church and our name or our location for all these years has kept us from discipleship or sharing the gospel. This church has done exactly that. You have reached out to other people in the surrounding communities and people that you know. People have come here and you shared the love of Christ with them and they have been discipled. We want to continue to do that wherever God leads us or by whatever name that we're known. That desire remains the same. In your notes then, so what? Our choice of name should reflect a sacrifice we are willing to make. The only reason we're willing to leave a beautiful building like this that has such significance to so many people is because of God's leading. It'd be the only reason that we should consider changing a name if God leads us to do so for His glory. It's really the only reason to do that. This principle applies to other areas of our lives. You and I asking the question, what is the next step God is asking from me personally? And am I willing to do whatever it takes to take that next step? Am I willing to sacrifice to grow as a disciple? And am I a model for others? When people look at my life, do they see me in my family, in our businesses, in school, wherever we are? Do they see me as a person that is willing to sacrifice for the good of the gospel, willing to sacrifice for whatever God asked me to do? Please know my heart that as your lead pastor, I deeply love you in a way that's hard to express in words. With my personality, if you know me a little bit by now, my personality takes a while for people maybe to understand how much I care about them. You have to get to know me a little bit maybe, but I do deeply love you. And as your lead pastor and as God led me here almost 5 years ago, I have come to love each of you even more. And because of that, I really want the best for you. I want God's blessing on your life personally, in your family, in your businesses, wherever you go to school, in your neighborhoods. I want God to bless you. I want Him to lead you. And so as we walk this journey together, I have that same desire for us as a church. I want God's blessing on us. And really, the only way to know that we have God's blessing is if He asks us to do something, we're going to do it, even if it's difficult. We're at least willing to consider anything and everything that God might lead us to consider. And I want to walk that journey with you. I'm happy to listen to you, to pray with you, to come alongside of you. I want you to know my heart in this. Willing to take whatever next steps that God has given us as a church. Well, there's some final thoughts I want to share with you that are in your notes before we close here. Just some thoughts that I've been thinking about as we consider this together. a new name could increase our impact and our church family. I cannot guarantee that changing locations is going to bring a whole lot more people to the church. It might. I can't guarantee that if we were to change the name in that new location, that a lot more people would come. I don't know. The name, the location are not really the most important things. The most important thing is, what is God asking us to do? Are we willing to do whatever He asks us? And to think outside of ourselves. We know the things that we like. We know the things that are important to us as a church family. But one of the things that's important to us is that those who are not yet a part of this church family, right? Those who are outside the church right now, that eventually will know about us, that we have relationships with, we want them to be a part of this church family. And so part of the reason for us moving locations, doing something with our facilities, is exactly for that. We want more people to be able to come, to be able to disciple them. And so that's why we consider a name. It's possible that a name would have a greater reach with more people who don't yet know us. Although the people who do know us, I think, will certainly want to continue to be a part of us and follow us wherever we go. Next, a new name could communicate that we're in a new location. For a long time, obviously, we have been here, Weymouth Community Church, at this address. And in the move of a location, there's a practical, logical option of remaining or renaming our church. We no longer be in Weymouth, so we will be in a different location. We certainly want to have a name that will not confuse people as to where we are, to be able to identify possibly even the change in location. Now, the fact is that, excuse me, even in this small church, we have people from all kinds of communities, including Akron, Amherst, Brunswick, Chatham Township, Chippewa Lake, Copley, Grafton, Hinckley, Lodi, Medina, North Royalton, Richfield, Rittman, Seville, Strongsville, Valley City, and Wadsworth. All represent people who attend here. So even here as Weymouth Community Church, God has found a way, obviously, to bring people from all kinds of places. But we still desire to reach more people in the community where we're going to be and in the surrounding communities. The people who already know about us and the people who will learn about us in the future and may want to be a part of us. Just the thought, the practical thought of being in a new location. Next, a name can identify a location or community we are trying to reach. That's also connected here. For all these years in Weymouth Community Church, and when they first changed the name to Weymouth Community Church, I'm sure a lot of it was, we're here in this community. We want to reach people in this community and the surrounding communities. There are examples of this throughout our community. Stony Hill Church, which is the building we're going to purchase, God willing, their name identifies a particular location. They're on a particular road that many people know about. Medina Community Church. 20-plus years ago, people left this particular church and started Medina Community Church with the name that encompasses the whole city. Right across the road, Heartland Community Church. Kind of gives you the idea of the whole Midwest, or the idea of caring about people with their heart. There's different reasons why people choose a name that identifies maybe even a location or a group of people they're hoping to reach. We'll no longer be in Weymouth. So one of the considerations would be, would it make sense to have another name, a location name, that would identify where we are and part of the community we'd like to reach for Christ? Another thought, an option for us in your notes, is a name can identify our God-given purpose. We've stated how important purpose is. So what if a name reflected that purpose? Some examples in our community are Connection Church. Many people can relate to that kind of longing for connection. Grace Church, certainly a foundation of the Christian faith. Cornerstone Church, Jesus indeed being the cornerstone. What would best identify our God-given purpose? Would God want us to have a name where we're not just saying the name to try to say this is the name of the church, but the name would also identify something that's really important to us, what we're really all about? My final thought brings us back to where we started. It's not about us. That starts with me, and that's for all of us as we consider this, that it can't just be about what I want or what I like, but really sincerely asking the question, God, what is it you want? This has to be about you. This has to be about honoring you and glorifying you and following you. And that's what we're asking you to consider. So what are our next steps in this process? And here's how you can help us. I'm going to ask our greeters to go ahead and hand out a card. We'd like all of you to receive one of these. At the top it says WCC response card. And on the card are a few of the principles that we've already shared today in your notes. And what we're encouraging everyone to do is we shared with you, here's what we're asking everybody to do in this process, and it's on the card. Let me just read it for you. Listen, pray, consider, engage in helpful conversation, and when the time comes, vote based on what you truly believe God is asking us to do. This is not a vote right now. This is not a voting card. That could happen in the future. If we were to change our name constitutionally, we would have a vote and you would get to decide. But here's what we're asking you to do first. To listen to this message, which all of you have already done. Good job with that. You've completed that one. We're going to ask everybody who wasn't here today to listen to the message as soon as possible. We hope that we'll get up on our website fairly soon. I've also sent the manuscript of the message to our life group leaders, so they have what I intended to say for those who want to have more discussion in their life groups. But the first thing is to listen. Secondly, is to get your feedback. Phil Staff, former elder and our present leader of our building team, is willing to help lead a team to consider what God is doing in our hearts as it relates to this issue. And so they're going to gather a lot of information, and part of that being the information that you give them. And one of the main ways you can give them information is on this card. So we're going to ask all of you to fill this out. You don't have to fill it out today. But we're going to ask you to prayerfully consider this and fill this out so that the team can collect this. You can turn this into the church office. You can give it to one of the elders. Right now there's a black box back there. You can put it in the black box this week or next week. Downstairs, where the building team usually is, and there's been pictures in the past down there of the building, there's a basket down there. You can put it in the basket. But we're just asking you to prayerfully consider this and give us your input. It has a place for your name. Anonymous suggestions aren't really going to help us here. Best way to contact you, if we have a question, we'd like to follow up. Then on the back, if you have some name ideas, even if it's the current name, whatever your name ideas are, write that down, or those down, and then the thoughts behind your ideas. What's led you to think that that would be a good name for us as you think about these principles? Then you get it back to us. The team will gather that information, and then they will come to the elders, and based on what you have said, and based on their research, they will make a recommendation to the elders. So the team is not making a decision, but they're gathering all the information and getting it to the elders. We will then, based on that information and what we believe God is asking us to do, we'll come back to the congregation. And if it does include a recommendation to consider a name change, then we would also give you a date that we would ask our members to vote. Now, by the way, we're asking for you, even if you're not a member, but you call this your church home, you regularly attend, we would love for you still to have a part by praying through this and giving us your suggestions and ideas. And then, after we've received these and been able to take this time, hear from the team and talk about it and pray about it as elders, we'll then come back to you to help us decide what is God asking us to do. And just as with the building, if there is going to be a change, that comes through you. God is going to give you, the church, the direction for what He wants us to do. I'm going to ask our worship team to go ahead and come and prepare to lead us in our final song. We will have some new members after we sing to be able to introduce you to this morning. But we'd like to get the conversation started. When this service is over, I will be up front if you would like to talk to me about any of these things. Phil's staff will be downstairs. You can find him downstairs if you'd like to start talking to him. And again, feel free, you can fill this out today, you can wait through this week and do it next week, whenever it is that you feel like you can let us know your thoughts and ideas. And we greatly appreciate that. Most of all, we want to be unified, even if there is differences of opinion, and certainly there will be. We want to be unified on this, that we're willing to listen, we're willing to pray, we're willing to engage in conversation, we're willing to move toward one another, and most of all, we're willing to ask God, God, what is it you want us to do? Because that's what we want to do together. Let's stand and sing.